Hey, everybody. This week, Paul and I are going to dive into a poem Paul just happened upon again by Robert Frost, right?
Robert Frost. Yep.
The road not taken.
That's right.
Not the road less traveled, the road not taken.
Often confused with a poem that doesn't exist called The Road Less Traveled.
Yeah. No, anyway, what did we hit on a few things about the two different roads.
Basically, it's kind of an analogy, right? Where we kind of relate the infinite banking concept is the road not taken, right? And the road that is taken is the 401k route, the IRA, the Wall Street, 529s, you know, buy term and invest the difference, whatever, all that stuff, right? That your neighbor's doing and everyone you know is doing, and the one that your Uncle Bob says that you should be doing. So, but we kind of, this is kind of a thought podcast episode, I think, get you thinking a little bit.
Dare to be different. Take the road less traveled. All right, everybody. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast.
All right, try number three.
Keep this is take three, folks. You don't realize this, but I was having some technical difficulties with my whatever that is. Modem?
Yeah. Something like that, where your screen kept freezing. And it's always, anytime a screen freezes, it always freezes you in a very unflattering, face. One eye is half closed.
Your
mouth's open. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, cool, man. Good to see you again.
Yeah.
You're back in the office. It looks like there's no Anthony running around back there making himself.
There's just a dog.
It blends in.
Yeah. He's really, there he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool, man. Cool. Well, I guess since last we talked, I got back in the swing of football now. So we got football four nights a week for a couple hours, and games start next week. So, man, it's going to be fall here before we know it.
Yeah. How's the weather been up there? Is it hot?
Hot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hot here.
It's been hot. So, and rainy. Real rainy. But I don't complain because it's going to be cold real soon here.
That's right.
And then
I'll
be complaining.
Summer to winter.
It is summer to winter. I'll be complaining all winter long.
Yeah.
So we don't need any more of that. All right, man. Well, today you must have been reading some poetry or something because something struck you.
Yeah, just got struck. We sit around trying to think of things to talk about as it relates to the subject. Now, this is episode 185. Yeah, so 185 weeks without missing a week.
Yeah.
And sometimes, not that it's difficult, but sometimes we get inspired by, maybe a client call that we had or a prospective client call or something that we heard from somebody else or whatever, or just, stuff that's out there in the wide, wide world. Today, we were kind of thinking the same thing, but we just didn't know it, which is scary.
Yeah.
Two great minds, great minds think alike.
Yeah. If you put us together, we have half a brain. So
that's right. That's right. So today we're going to discuss. So I always liked the poem, often mistitled out there when people talk about it, but it's Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken. So
that's not what it's called. That's what we think it's called, right? Wait, no, that is what it's called.
No, that is what it's called.
I always thought it was The Road Less Traveled.
Right. Everyone wants it to be that.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's The Road Not Taken.
Well, I think for the title, we'll call it The Road Less Traveled because that's what everybody knows. But now you know, we actually really do know the actual title of the poem.
Yeah. So I don't know if that'll result in people thinking we're dumb, or if they listen to the episode, they'll realize that we do know what the title is.
Yeah.
Won't think we're dumb, maybe.
We do know what we're talking about most of the time.
Right. Not a poet, not super into poetry, but always liked this one. And I think it fits, the IBC lifestyle, not only from the agent perspective, but also, I can't tell anyone what I'm doing because they're going to think I'm nuts.
Right. Yeah. So, because, what's the essence of that poem? And most people probably know, but if you don't.
Yeah, I think it's, well, it's about being, I think for me, I think like a free thinker, kind of going against the grain. Like, you know what? Everyone's doing that. I'm going to go do that. That's how I think about it. Very, very simple.
Yeah. So it's not following the crowd, not following the mainstream, not following the conventional path that's laid out before you. I mean, from grade school on, there's that conventional path and the conventional message that's preached to you. And sometimes parents end up preaching that to their kids without even questioning it or wondering how they got that idea, which is the typical, you know, like Robert Kiyosaki outlines in Rich Dad Poor Dad, go to school, get good grades so you can get into a good college.
Yeah.
And so that
become
you can
a highly compensated employee.
Yeah. So you can get a good job with good benefits and have job security and then go get a get married, get a mortgage, get a boat, get a car, live the American dream, all on credit cards.
Right.
And repay your student loans. I saw this Instagram reel of this girl just bawling her eyes out, just venting to the camera. She's like, I'm $90,000 in debt. Mm. And I've been paying $1,500 a month for the last year. And it's my balance is more than it was when I started. How did that happen? She's freaking out. Like, how am I ever going to pay this? And student debt is the only debt you can't wipe away from bankruptcy. Right? You can't. I think even if you die, does somebody take that on if you die?
Ooh, you know what? Chime in the comments. I have no idea.
I think a parent co-signed or something like that with FAFSA and all that, I think the parent's stuck with the debt if the child dies. So not to, you know, God forbid.
I'm not
that
co-signing
happened.
For anybody ever.
Me neither. Never. Because I don't tell my kids, if you want to go to college, you better pay cash and work your way through. Who convinced you need to get through to college in 4 years? It could take two or it could take six. Why does it have to be four?
You know, right.
You could go in 4 years, graduate with $90,000 in debt, or you can go in 6 years and graduate with zero debt. Who's really winning in that scenario? You know,
I knew plenty of people that worked. They'd work back, you know, it was called work study. They would work at the library or at the bookstore or whatever they did.
Yeah.
Right. And, or they worked out in the economy or they did both. And that's how they partly paid for school.
Or you take those college credits in high school for free, or you go to a community college for 2 years and then finish at a university. Nobody cares where you graduate from.
That's Yeah. If you're not right.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't put much stock in academic pedigree. I mean, there's plenty of people from the Ivy League screwing up this country. Just look around.
Absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, that's the conventional path. You know, not that there's anything wrong with going to college and becoming an employee, not at all.
Nope.
But that's the road most often traveled. Right? Because that's the one that's right out in front of you. You know, what does that road also come with? You know, all those benefits that everybody thinks they want, which is the 401k. Yeah.
The match. Gotta get that match.
The match, the 529 college savings plan, which is actually an investment plan.
That's one of our favorite things to talk about on this show. And I've encountered that particular thing. Everyone knows the 401k and, you know, it's a mixed bag with the 529. Some people are like, I thought that was stupid. And that's encouraging when I hear clients say that, oh, I never did that. I thought that was stupid.
Yeah.
Or I have clients or prospective clients that, you know, the whole family, the grandparents contribute to it, they contribute to it. And, you know, fast forward a few years, now you got 100 grand sitting in one of these things or 200 or something.
Yeah, several hundred thousand. Like, is your kid going to be a doctor? What if they don't want to be a doctor?
Maybe.
What are you going to do with all that money?
Yeah, well, possibly. But I wish I could just rescue all these people and show them, you know, just plug in a compound interest calculator, what the opportunity costs on $100,000 or $200,000, you know, and just, you know, use a reasonable rate, like 5%, right? That's reasonable. You can actually get that in a CD right now, certificate of deposit right now. You get 5%. And use that and see what you're giving up over, I don't know, the next 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
And if it's, and it's millions of dollars.
Yep.
And if you just changed one thing, in this case, the sequence of those same dollars, you would still have those dollars and the earning potential of those dollars 40 years from now.
Right. And the earning potential is actually has grown into a greater amount. I mean, potential is just future possibility, but it's actually grown and it's better every year.
And then we were talking before we recorded too, is the unseen things once that money is gone. And it doesn't have to be 529 money, folks. It could be whatever money. I don't care. It could be mortgage money. It could be all the interest you're paying to somebody else's bank, whatever. However you need to think about this. But the unseen is something we need to think about, and that's the things that you will not see, that you will not think of because you didn't have the capital to participate. There might be a great thing that you want to do, that you want to participate in, that you want to buy, that you want to finance. And you're not going to be able to take advantage of that, maybe at the level that you'd like to, maybe at a reduced level, let's say, which is okay. But you know, that's not something I can illustrate. We can talk about it. And my job is to make you think. But there's going to be, there's millions of people that are going to fall into that category because they have taken the road well-traveled.
The road well-traveled, and it looks easy because it's made to look easy. I mean, it's paved, right? There's, they make it very easy to automatically invest. I mean, some companies now—
automatically
enroll. They have the right to automatically enroll you, and you have to raise your hand and say, no, I don't want that in order to not be enrolled.
That's
right. And how many people are going to do that? Because you think you walk into HR and say, I don't want to enroll in this 401k. They're going to raise their eyebrow at you and be like, are you serious? You don't want free money?
Right.
You know, they make you feel bad, make you feel like an idiot, like you got a third eyeball. But so it's made to look very easy. I visualize it as one of those moving walkways in an airport.
Yeah, like, chime in the comments. What are those called?
I think they're just called moving walkways. I don't know. We set escalator and we're like, that's not right because escalate means go up, go down, de-escalate, right? So they're moving walkways. Maybe there's a better name. But, you know, Minneapolis, MSP has them all over the place because it's a huge airport. And they're really nice if you're in a hurry. But so many people get on there and then they just stop walking. They just get on their phone and they're actually traveling slower than somebody who's walking at a normal pace on the carpet beside them. It's
correct.
But it's easy. It's the easy path. And most people will select that path even unconsciously because it's easy. Their brain says, hey, I'm looking for the easiest thing. I'm like water, path of least resistance. That's where I'm going. They don't even think about it until you're on that walking path. That moving walkway, and you're like, what am I doing here? Why did I stop walking? Like,
yeah, I should be walking. I always walk. I walk on them.
I walk beside them and stare at people as I'm walking faster than them while they're on the walkway. Makes me feel better about myself. Yeah. No, they're good when you're in a hurry. But it's also, you know, another visual example is how many times have you booked a hotel? And you're like, wow, this is a really nice looking hotel. Man, the atrium, they got pictures of the, you know, freshly cleaned entryway and the pool that was just cleaned and the trees and all this stuff. And you're like, okay. And you book that hotel, but then you get there and you're like, this is nothing like I expected.
we've right? done that.
There's hair in the bathtub.
It's a picture from 20 years ago when they rehabbed it.
Kind of like a realtor's photo.
Kind of like a real estate agent's photo or maybe a hotel that we stayed at in Vancouver.
Right.
Once upon a time a few years ago. Like
it's
I don't know this because I'm not on these things, but like people that are on like Tinder or whatever these dating apps are, and you know, you show up to this blind date and you think it's gonna be what Sally looks like in this photo, and that ain't Sally. That's a AI generated photo of Sally's best day.
She walks in and she's like, oh, you were the other person in the picture. Oh, my bad.
Oh, I'm so glad to be married.
Happy right.
I don't have to deal with
it's a good
that
thing.
Stuff. Oh my goodness.
But that's what I feel like that hotel analogy. People get to the end of towards their retirement years, and they're taking a look at their assets, and they're like, well, this isn't at all what I expected to end up with. I expected to have so much more. How am I going to live on this for 30 more years? What's my income plan? Because nobody's thought about an income plan. They just think about a retirement plan. What does that mean? Well, I guess I just put a bunch of money away.
Yeah, you got to really define
it. I give it to somebody and they create some magic.
It's magic.
Rub a magic genie. I have no idea what they do, but they told me, trust me, 30 years, you'll be set. 30 years later, where's all my money?
You're not. Yeah that magical 12% that you were told you'd get in a mutual fund, which somehow people are still like listening to that guy and believing that nonsense. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What he's saying doesn't exist.
No.
There's no mutual fund that has returned 12% uninterrupted compound year over year.
Right.
For the last 20 or 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. It doesn't exist. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean,
if it did exist, I would own it.
Yeah. Or you could just copy Nancy Pelosi's picks. There's somebody who tracks all of her
God.
Picks.
That's so awesome.
And then just copy them. You'll be set. I'd do that before I gave money to anybody.
Yeah. It's amazing. You have someone that's made like less than 200 grand her entire adult life, who's worth, you know, I could say the husband, whatever, you know, whatever he's doing, but he's obviously got insider information because he's on the inside. But
yeah. But a net worth.
Then you turn that into a 10 figure portfolio.
Yeah.
Like pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, you must be a really smart lady.
Savvy.
Very savvy. Yeah.
A better investor, in fact, than Warren Buffett.
Yeah. I've heard of that guy.
Yeah.
So that's the road most often taken. You know, what's the road not taken look like? You know, it's unfinished. There's not many people on it. Right?
Yeah, maybe it's I'm thinking of the cartoon Beauty and the Beast when the father's trying to go this way and the horse's name was Philippe, I think, and the horse is like looking at the butterflies and the light down that path. And he's like, hey, let's go this way. And of course, dad goes, ends up at the beast's castle, right? And well, it worked out in the end. But
yeah.
It was scary there for a while. But it's rough.
It's unpaved.
It appears rough, maybe.
Right. Well, and it's an uphill climb because nobody's really blazing that path for you. It's not a moving walkway that you just jump on and then sit on your phone for the next 30 years and expect it to get really far.
Yeah.
No, it's a climb. But what happens when you get to the end of that, you're at the top of a hill and the view is much better.
Much better. You know, Dave, I'd be interested to know, because I haven't encountered this from anybody that I know, whether they're a friend and not a client, or obviously if they're a friend and they are a client. But I'd be curious for the audience and our podcast clients, have you guys or gals encountered kind of the Uncle Bob in your personal life who says you're on the wrong path by implementing the infinite banking concept? You know, you encountered that. And you shoot us an email or just chime in on the comments on YouTube or wherever. But I'd be interested to know, like, have you experienced that in your IBC life as you share what you're doing with other people?
Yeah.
I do this and I do that. And it'd be interesting to know that.
I certainly did at the beginning. I think when I was exploring it or when I just started, I remember going to some people who were more financially savvy than me.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to one guy who kind of taught me a few things about investing. I said, what do you think about whole life insurance? He's like, don't do it. Buy term and invest the difference.
Just rattled
it off. And it kind of rattled me a little bit. I was like, well, shoot, man, I think this sounds like a good idea, but I'm not as smart as this guy. So maybe he's onto something and I'm not. So it took a while to get that confidence that, yeah, I need to stop taking advice from other people, especially people who haven't made it. who aren't where I want to be. I mean, if you're taking advice from somebody who is in a place that you don't want to be, why would you take advice?
Right. And that's not to say, like, odds are, you know, someone very successful, very well off, very well to do that doesn't own whole life insurance. In fact, I've met them in this neighborhood that I'm going to be moving into.
And they may not even be business owners. Maybe they were highly paid C-suite executives. They took the road more traveled. They just did it better than other people.
Yeah.
And made it higher, right? Made it farther. Yep.
But I guarantee you, if I could get them into a conversation as I move in there and talk to folks that, you know, because a lot of them are, you know, not near the end, but they're closer to the end than we are age-wise, right? So it's, you know, think with the end in mind, you know, instant liquidity of whatever amount gives those left behind just some maneuver space and breathing room. They can kind of,
yeah,
you know, grieve, move on, whatever. But they don't have to worry about, like, all right, where's this mortgage? Where's this check, you know, this next bill going to be paid from or whatever?
You know what would be pretty effective, I think? I just thought of this when you were talking about people, you know, when you say they're farther along than us. I'm thinking maybe somebody 65, 70 years old.
Sure.
You know, and maybe they don't believe in whole life insurance. They're like, yeah, that's stupid. But if I were to pull out one of my illustrations from a policy I started when I was 30 or 40, and say, look, when I'm 65, I'm going to put $10,000 into this policy. How much cash value is that going to create for me that year? They'll read it and they'll say $40,000. Like, would you like to have the ability right now to put in $10,000 and receive $40?
Yeah.
Or is that still a stupid idea?
Terrible.
Yeah.
I don't want that, Dave.
I don't want that. I'm glad I never did that.
I'm glad I don't have that option.
That would be interesting to hear some feedback from somebody at that point in life who totally hates whole life. You know, their only thing would be, well, I could have put it in the market, made a lot more than that.
Maybe.
But could you right now, but could you take $10,000 today and turn it into 40 and access all that gain tax-free? I don't think so.
No. No.
Show me where you can do that.
I'm sure there's some person out there that has some access to some special thing that only the elites can do, probably, sure. Right? But, you know, average, typical person, no.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
Yep.
It would be one of those crypto, I put in $5 and then I walked out with $5 million 4 months later on Dogecoin or something. And I'm exaggerating the numbers.
That person's going to be broke again in 20 years.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
If they last that long.
You went to the casino and you got lucky. It's just like you won Powerball.
I read this or heard this somewhere recently. It was like money that was gained with effort that was, you know, that doesn't match the effort. Like you earned some money that didn't match the effort you put into earning that is not going to last. It's like playing the lottery. It's exactly what it is. Like, you did nothing to earn all of that. So it's not going to do good things for you.
Correct.
More often than not. Not saying some people win the lottery and, man, good on them. They turn $1 million into $10 million. Like, that would be the goal. But yeah, more often than not, if you didn't earn it, because it's not about the money. The money doesn't change you. It's who you became in order to acquire that money, the hill you had to climb to get to the point of earning, creating that much value and earning that in return for the value create, that's what makes you a different person, not just receiving the money.
Yeah, because, you know, it deserves respect. And through that journey, right, you're going to learn to, you know, it took a lot of work to get it. Right. And you want to keep it close.
You're going to take a lot of punches, a lot of punishment.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, naturally, I think that's, you know, that's exactly right. Like, you're going to be a far better steward of money, of wealth, of capital, than somebody who just, got lucky, you know, yanked on a handle and was $1 million richer as they walked out of that casino on the way to the airport. Like,
yeah,
that money's going to be gone.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, the road not taken, we would consider the road not or less often taken or the road less traveled would be the route of controlling your own capital. Pursuing the infinite banking concept, putting that into place, making that a part of your life, becoming your own banker, controlling your own capital instead of letting other people control your capital for you.
Yep. And, you know, I'm connected to the home building industry a little bit, Dave, through some private lending and other relationships. And that industry is ripe to see the value of IBC. But none of them do it.
Yeah.
Right. So if you happen to listen to this or you know someone who's a, you know, fairly prolific home builder or developer or something, you know, introduce this concept to them because they are missing out. And I keep having examples come across my desk of undercapitalized people trying to do something that they want to do. They're smart enough to do it. And guess who's in the way? Mr. Controller of the Golden Rule, Mr. Banker, in the way every time. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you can do this, but we're going to need another $300K in order for you to do that project. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Or they take every bit of collateral you have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they take it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're somebody who's just exploring this concept or hasn't started down the road of becoming your own banker, realize it's a journey. It's not like as soon as we discovered infinite banking, we immediately stopped doing anything else, you know, like
right.
Put money in mutual funds or 401k or TSP in your case, or investing in, you know, whatever, real estate or just stock picking. It was a journey. Like I started Infinite Banking in 2010 with three policies. In 2014, I entered corporate America and I started a 401k. Luckily, I came to my senses within about 3 months and I quit. And I wrote myself a letter so that anytime I started to get cold feet about maybe I'm being stupid, I need to go back and start doing the 401k, I would just pull that letter out and read it. And it listed all the reasons why I quit my 401k, which is an episode.
Yeah.
I made an entire episode about that 3 years ago.
That's an old one.
Yeah. It was one of the first, you know, it was 3 years ago, but that all came from a letter I wrote myself in 2014.
Right. I forgot about that.
401k. And then I started another policy instead of doing the 401k. I said, I'm going to start putting this money towards a policy on myself. So I started another policy.
Yep. Yeah. So if you're in the mindset of, you know, if you want to do something in the future, and this goes for anyone at any age here, you really need to start thinking, all right, Who or how is that thing going to be financed? Because I have a family member. I'll talk about my sister, right? She's looks like she's going to be taking over a business in Florida. It's a great opportunity. It's all in her neighborhood. It's a pool maintenance business. Mm-hmm. So it's very turnkey. She's the only employee. She's just her. Right. And 120 pools or whatever it is. And it's phenomenal. Right. And, you know, make your own schedule, whatever, 30 pools a day, however she's going to do it, whatever. But to buy this business, it requires capital. Right. And, you know, had the family been practicing IBC as a family for a generation, let's say, you know, that would be a no-brainer. It'd be easy to go do, right? Either my dad's like, yep, here I got policy over here that I opened up when you were a baby. It's got all the cash you need. Here you go. Here's a policy loan, whatever. Pay me back over 5 years, whatever it is, right? But, you know, that's not how it's going to go. So she's negotiating with the, you know, with the seller who's very good guy, very gracious. So it's going to work out just fine. But, you know, it's just interesting that, you know, you never know. This opportunity came out of nowhere. Nowhere.
Yeah.
But no, you know, no hint that he was going to, you know, walk, you know, he likes to go camping and he wants to retire and go camping. Great. He's 78. This guy's 78 years old, by the way.
built this business from scratch, like in the neighborhood, and does very well. Anyway, but again, you just, if you're going to plan on doing something, and it doesn't matter if you're going to build something, build a house, buy some, you know, people want some land that they can go, you know, hunt on or go camping on or just do whatever, go four-wheeling. Someone's going to finance that. And it ought to be you. Yep. You ought to be financing and controlling that function for that thing.
Yeah.
If you want to guarantee that you want to guarantee the ability to go do it. Otherwise, you're just going to be, it's really just a dream.
Yeah. Create that ability for yourself. But then, like you and I were talking before this, you know, you kind of focus on building your own castle first, and then you can, and then you have the ability to help other people. I was having this conversation with a good buddy of mine. We're just talking about different people and their mentality about money, and the people who say, I don't really, you know, money's not that important. I don't really care about money. What you're saying, you're making an excuse, in my opinion, to not go out and work, to not take a chance or not work hard or whatever. But really what you're saying is, I only care about myself. I don't care about anybody else.
Yeah.
Because you're only focused on yourself. If money is not a big deal and money is not important, I don't need much of it. You may not need much of it. What about people close to you? What about your loved ones? What about your grandchild someday who may have special needs and will need 24/7 round the clock care for the rest of their life? Would you like to be able to help them? Apparently not, because you're selfish. You don't care about anybody but yourself. That's the only reason why money doesn't matter to you.
Right. Yeah, the future's unknown, folks.
Yeah.
And
so maybe it's an unpopular opinion, but if you say money's not that important, I think you're a very selfish person. Because you're you're only thinking of yourself.
Yeah.
Truly.
And you're right. And the other thing that's what holds people back from implementing IBC. There's not
They don't want to leave money.
That's right. They don't want to leave it, or they think they're giving up some money, you know, now and in the future in order to do this. Right.
Right.
And they're not. That's a misconception. You're not giving up anything.
Yeah.
You're sacrificing. You have a temporary loss of liquidity.
Yeah. While you climb that hill.
While you climb that hill. That's it. That's it. So
yeah
man, I like the passion. I think it's you know, and I've, in full disclosure, I kind of evolved. You know, when I was young, I mean, maybe it was before kids, I kind of had that Dave Ramsey attitude. It's like, well, the next generation can figure it out. Because I was thinking they need to, you know, mindset wise, they need to be able to go figure it out, learn how to tie your own shoes.
And they still can. You can.
And they still
can.
They can
do that even if you have a lot of money.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Like,
and they know it too, because our policy is you need to be worthy of an inheritance.
Right.
If you're not worthy,
exactly,
you get nothing. It's great.
Yeah. There you go. So yeah, if you think money's not important, then don't call me. I don't want to talk to you. I'll be your friend. We can be friends, but I'm not going to work with you and try to convince right, you of money.
Just can't do business.
We're not going to do business together.
This part of IBC is, well, it's about money.
I mean,
and life next
is
generation.
Pretty much about money.
And legacy. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it is. So, take care of your castle, take care of your family, but capitalize so you can help others in need. Very likely, somebody in your family is going to be in need at some point during your lifetime. Wouldn't it be nice if you could be the hero and come to the rescue for a family member, for a loved one, for a close friend, for your dog who has bone cancer and you got to pay something to keep him alive, you know, so they can live in peace for another few months and not pain. You know, I have a friend who that just happened to them. And I'm like, you know, it's sure nice to have capital, because otherwise this dog would just be suffering, or, you know, I'd have to take it behind the barn.
You know? That's right.
Yeah. So, anyway. All right. Well, cool.
Good one.
So I will leave everybody with this. One of my favorite books, I was telling Paul before we hit record, that I used to read my boys all the time is The Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss. And man, if that doesn't describe the journey of life and so many people who sit in the waiting place, waiting for something to happen, waiting for their chance, for their, you know, their one big moment or their ship to come in. Like there's going to be ups and downs, whether you're on the road on the left or the road on the right. I tell my boys, there's only two roads in life and both are hard.
That's right.
So just pick your hard. You know, you want it to be forced on you, or do you want to choose hard so that it can get easier?
I like it.
Yeah. Whether they listen to me or not, I don't know. Well, hey, time will tell.
It's a crapshoot, right?
It's a crapshoot, yeah.
You do the best you can. Like, here's the tools. Like,
yeah,
I love you. And, you know, they're going to be what they're going to be, I think.
They are going to be what they're going to be. So hopefully I help. So, all right, everybody. Hey, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.